Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Konser, and today we're talking about The Toxic Avenger. You may know Toxie from the movies and the animated series, and now you can find him between the pages of a comic book. We're joined today by the writer of the comic series. He's a frequent guest on the show, an award-winning syndicated cartoonist, as well as founder and editor at the comics site The Nib. And he seems to have given all of that up for his first love, writing comic books. Matt Boers, good to have you back on the show.
Hey, what's happening? It's good to be back.
And we're also joined by Fred Harper. Fred is a New York-based painter, illustrator, and comics artist who teamed up with Matt to create The Toxic Avenger. Fred, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Good to meet you, or all of you, yes.
So Matt and Fred, give us a little background about The Toxic Avenger. This was originally a low-budget movie directed by the legendary Lloyd Kaufman back in 1984. And since then, it's spawned an animated series, a movie reboot, and even a stage play.
Yeah, you know, it definitely made an impression on me when I was young. I was born in 83. So I think a lot of people's memories of Toxic Avenger is seeing it when they were too young. My dad let me watch a lot of rated R movies when I was super young. So I don't know. You just went to the video store and you pointed at some cool looking movies, and nothing looked cooler than the Toxic Avenger covers. Honestly, that's just classic. I think the second one is like this detailed painted photo. He's ripped. He's got a chick with an Uzi. There's an American flag. There's toxic waste. I mean, it's over the top. It's ridiculous. And you run a movie like that, and then you realize what kind of movie it is when you're watching it.
Yeah, the hero of the original Toxic Avenger movie is this awkward 98-pound nerd named Melvin Ferd. In your comic series, the character is Melvin Junko. And this version of Melbo, he has a much stronger sense of self.
Yeah, so Melvin Junko, I believe I got that from the animated show. I think they called him Melvin Junko in that. And we are kind of doing an amalgamation of like various toxic eras, you know, the movies and the animated show. But the Toxic Avenger movies relish in being what they call grade Z cinema. They're trash movies, and that's what's charming about them, is like low budget, not super well acted, and not tremendously well scripted to the point where you're going to be nominated for an Oscar. So I don't think you can do the exact same thing in comics. I mean, we're keeping the gore, we're trying to keep the trauma vibe, but like you have to write a little more about the character, and there's like some interiority because he has narrative captions. It talks, he's like the narrator. So trying to imbue it with a, I don't know if I would say seriousness, because that's not the goal, but yeah, we have to characterize Melvin and the Toxic Avenger a little more.
Yeah, just enough seriousness that everybody comes along, and then we lure them in with that, and then we hit them with the gore, and then they're like, you know, it has more impact that way. You know, you go, yeah, well, this looks like they're really buckling down to give us a message, and then, oh, gross. You know, that's what I'm going for.
Well, there's a lot of bullying of the Melvin character in the original movie. It starts out with him getting bullied by these jocks and popular guys, but all of that bullying was contained within their small community of Tromaville. So now in the 21st century, we have all these viral videos and other ways to spread cruelty and humiliation out into the wider world. So you take that difference in the four decades difference and you run with it.
Yeah. Tromaville in our comic is sort of this almost magical place. It has a nostalgic vibe to it, you know, from the 80s and 90s to fit with the property, but it's also takes place in the present day. They are Gen Z high schoolers, I guess, and streaming and phones play a big part in various plots. I mean, to start with, the bullying of Melvin was done, which you see later in the story. We kind of go back in each issue and tell a little bit more about his time, like when he's in his human form and what his life was like. Because his antagonists are the bullies who are also mutated. So just to give you a little bit of an overview here, like we redo the story a little bit.
There is a an incident that results in the mutations, and it's different in the comic series than in the movie.
Yes, we have a toxic train derailment, a toxic train spill that places the town under quarantine. And Melvin happens to be being chased down the tracks at this moment. So him, his bullies, and a couple other people in the town are transformed into, you know, the famous line is a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength. So the bullying of him was live streamed, you know, on this prank channel. So it's not just like a personal humiliation, but it's, there was a video that went viral of him, and he's internet famous now for being humiliated.
So now the tables are turned. Toxie, the Toxic Avenger, he's got all of this agency, and he's also just, he's just absurdly odd looking. And Fred, you must have really enjoyed this chance to draw grotesque anatomy.
I've been doing comics off and on for the last 35 years. And so you get a lot of practice drawing the grotesque. You know, there's like, it seems like no matter what comic I've ever done, there was something gross happened in it. Like I did Animal Man for DC, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to draw animals. But then there was decaying animals. And then there was weird scenes of primordial, like, things that the writer would ask for. And I'm like, wow, this is, I never thought I was going to be drawing that. So being on Toxic Avenger, I'm bringing all of that into like the scene where we kill Bonehead. I had just come from an independent comic book store, and I saw the most bizarre Japanese comics, really grotesque, but very graphic, very descriptive. And I'm like, well, I got to bring this to this scene. So I tried to imagine what Toxic Avenger's fist would look like going into and out of the guy's head. And I'm like, well, that's a good start, but I'm not going to just splatter and be ambiguous. I'm going to like, no, I want to show the bones pushing through this part of the skull, and the brain would be squirting out over here. And, you know, I'm trying to like engineer all of that. And I always have this, the words of my mother, when I first started doing comics, she saw something I did. I was doing something for a gaming company, and it was all gross, like people getting murdered left and right. And I'm drawing this. And my mother looks at me and goes, oh, Freddie, whatever I did to you as a child, I apologize. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going for. Yeah, that's, I'm trying to bring that to Toxic Avenger so that we can keep doing more.
Well, some of the reviews that have come in talk about the mix of beauty and grotesqueness. And there are these really fantastic splash pages at the beginning of every chapter that have these really bold colors and crazy angles and inky shadows, almost like a European comics look, old school European comics look. And I know that in addition to comics projects, you do fine art and illustration. You work mainly in ink and gouache.
Yes. Yeah. It's mostly a gouache painting. When I do any illustration, I went to art school, so I learned all the techniques. Some are just more practical when you live in a small apartment. If I had my choice, I'd be painting, you know, 6 foot tall paintings in oils every time, but I don't have the ventilation for it here or the space. And also I have a girlfriend that will like probably lean up against it by accident and then blame me for it, you know? So I'm like, well, okay, I'll stick to gouache. It's small and I can keep it in a flat file later. So, but I just enjoy gouache too. It's the most practical technique to use for what we're doing.
Well, you got your start painting murals, so there's some good large scale projects.
Oh, yeah. There. No, I thought that was going to do that forever, you know, but I was just a work for hire kid, you know, out of college. And yeah, I did 2 years of that when I first came to New York. And I mean, I learned a lot, although my first paintings I brought into Marvel to look at were way too big for them. They were like, you know, I remember one time I was trying to get a job doing a cover for Ghost Rider 2099, and I walked in with this painting of the Ghost Rider, and it was on a canvas that was 4 feet by 6 feet, and I had it rolled up, and I walked in, and I kind of just shook it like a blanket out onto the editor's desk. I pretty much buried his desk, and he looked at it. He goes, "Okay." So next thing you know, I think it was issue 3, Ghost Rider 2099, and it was my painting that I covered the editor in. I mean, it filled up his whole little cubicle, but yeah, those are fun times.
Well, yeah, you've worked for the major comic book companies at some point, but you're a fairly young guy, and a lot of your peers are working mainly in digital, especially coloring in digital. And you seem to love the old school techniques. You're a member of the Society of Illustrators, and I can kind of see like the influence of classic older illustrators like Victor Juhas and Bill Sienkiewicz, who will take like a toothbrush and fling ink or paint.
I was in art school. It was the 80s. I saw the Frank Miller, Sienkiewicz, Daredevil, and that was the first seed I had that was like, maybe I could do graphic novels someday, because up till that point, I thought, oh, you have to draw in black and white and let somebody else color it. I wasn't crazy about that process, because I'm a painter. I know how to do it all, And so when I saw that book, I was just blown away. Like, wow, look at this is a lesson in color. Just the first chapter was the whole first semester of my freshman year. That whole issue was a lesson in how to paint and how to treat color and how to design. I learned a lot of the classics in college. When I got to the Society of Illustrators, they have an incredible collection. So I'm looking at, N.C. Wyeth's, all these original paintings. And I went to the Frazetta Museum and saw some original Frazettas.
So you've worked with Victor Juhas. Yeah, I love his stuff, and I can see like you guys have the same influences.
He's part of the Society of Illustrators where I first met him. And he kind of was, I well, he's really, his sons are both Marines. And so he was really involved in doing all these drawings for the Air Force and for the
Oh,
Marines.
wow.
And when I was talking to him, he goes, "Hey, we have this program with the Air Force and the Society of Illustrators. We fly everybody down and we draw soldiers who are just back from war." And, like we went to Walter Reed a couple of times and drew the soldiers who are just back from Iraq, like, oh yeah, I got most of my leg back, and I'm
Oh,
like,
wow.
for me, it's the biggest anti-war like ad, just going to Walter Reed and seeing all these like 19-year-olds with one leg left, and you're like, oh shit, this sucks, and we're not even at a real war with these guys, so yeah, it was like, but that's how I met Victor. We drove down to Washington a couple of times together.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser, and today we're talking about the Toxic Avenger comic series with writer Matt Boers and artist Fred Harper. So, how did you guys get together? What brought you together?
Ahoy.
Yes.
Our editor, Tom Pyre, I brought the Toxic Avenger idea to the table. I had kind of approached Troma about it and tried to marry Troma and Ahoy as the publisher because I had a pitch for writing it. And I didn't have anyone specific in mind for drawing it. That was like to come later. And then we got talking about it once it was reality. And our editor, Tom Pyre, I mean, he just suggested Fred first. And Fred had drawn a couple books for Ahoy. And I could tell, even though they weren't as grotesque as the Toxic Avenger, I could tell that he had the ability, he was going to nail it. And then really surprised me by doing even better than I thought he would.
Well, we mentioned Lloyd Kaufman, who's not just the director behind the original Toxic Avenger, along with Michael Hertz, but he's also the co-founder of the studio, Troma Entertainment. What did Lloyd have to say when you came calling with your pitch for this comic series?
You know, it was surprisingly easy. 'Cause I mean, I've pitched stuff before and hasn't gone anywhere, and there's, licenses and IP and all that crap. They have been and continue to be surprisingly easy to work with. I mean, I guess because even though it is IP and there is a, new movie coming out and stuff like that, it's ultimately Troma is Lloyd Kaufman and Michael Hertz, and they're not exerting a ton of control over what we do. They're letting us do what we want. Sort of like a different version of Toxie, certainly different than the movie that's coming out, which looks pretty good, but it's just not related to the story we're telling. So it's been easy. I mean, I walked up to Lloyd Kaufman at San Diego Comic-Con in 2023, and I just introduced myself and said, I got an idea for, a new, how to revive this character in a comic series. And he just, he said, I didn't pitch the pitch right then and there, but he said, cool, email me. And I emailed him and put them and Ahoy together. I mean, it all happened really quickly. Like within a few months, we were working on it.
So, as we said, this is a 21st century version, and your version of the Toxic Avenger saga starts in medias res, as they say, in the middle of the story when a lot of crazy stuff has already happened.
Yeah, so I wrote the first issue, and then, I often kind of like to challenge myself to make it more interesting. And especially with a number one issue, it's like you have to grab people. So I didn't completely rewrite the issue, but I reordered things so that it starts in the middle of this quarantine of the town. And he's already the Toxic Avenger. And you don't exactly know what's going on. And you work backwards a few days to figure out that by the end that the source of this is the train spill, which turned him into the Toxic Avenger. And I was kind of going for, I mean, I wouldn't say the story is about the pandemic or lockdowns, but I mean it definitely has some rhymes to it, just that feeling of like the characters are reacting to a situation that they don't know what has happened and where it's going. And you're just sort of thrown into it. And we work backwards a few days over the course of the first issue. And then the last image is him being transformed in this toxic waste spill. Because, we have to, you have to do the new origin. You have to get it out of the way. I mean, you can just start with him being the Toxic Avenger, but I feel like, especially with him, the transformation, why it happens through the bullying is a key part of it. And also in this story, we've kind of come up with a unifying event that accounts for all of the transformations and all the plot lines further down the line. Like the town just gets weirder, transformed by pollution. It causes weird blowback, like crime cults and environmental terrorism to pop up. And it sets the stage for the Toxic Crusaders, which we're also doing a mini series of. So those people were all like mutated in this original toxic train spill.
Well, in the Lloyd Kaufman Troma entertainment tradition, there's a lot of wacky, over-the-top comedy, but you've layered it with a lot more social satire. And in the movie industry, there's a long tradition of mashing up horror and science fiction with social satire. I'm thinking of directors like Paul Verhoeven with RoboCop, Sam Raimi with Drag Me to Hell, Jordan Peele with Get Out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I come from political cartooning and I got tired of political cartooning because you have to hit the nail on the head so hard. You have to make sure that if anyone's misinterpreting your political cartoon, actually you probably have done a bad job. But that's not a good way to tell a story or write fiction. So I wouldn't say that, the stuff I'm doing, Justice Warriors and Toxic Avenger, I wouldn't say it's particularly subtle satire necessarily. But I am trying to infuse some socio-political commentary in there, but also it's not so much at the forefront.
Well, yeah, there's of course the mutants, Toxie himself and other toxic mutants. But then there's all these people, these side characters who are trying to contain the chaos. And some of the side characters, they include a number of media flacks. You've got a spokesman for the mayor of Tromaville who's trying to bright side everything that's happened while she's talking to the press and to the public.
Yeah, Lydia Flick. We're gonna bring her back, actually. I like her. But yes, she's the PR flack who works for this company called Biohazard Solutions.
BS for short.
They're in charge of the quarantine. Maybe the spill, too, itself. You have to read it to see. And there's a lot more going on with the spill, which is sort of this big conspiracy, which again sort of kicks off the entire like universe and the stories that we're telling. If anyone remembers the Toxic Crusaders cartoon, though, I'll say it borrows heavily from like the main conceit of the cartoon show.
So the town of Tromaville, you've got the 21st century version where word is leaking out about what's going on. Government authorities and corporate authorities are trying to contain the leaks, but then things get even weirder with what might or might not be alien invaders.
Yeah. Fred, you want to take that one?
Yes, we were teasing it along almost from the first issue. The interesting thing that happens sometimes when I'm working with not just Matt, but most writers, I don't know the whole story. So I don't know what to foreshadow ahead of time unless it's written in script. And so I was like, oh, it is aliens, like as we were evolving on the stories. And then there's the Rangers. Are they all aliens? I don't know. We don't know. When I look back at the movie, the first Toxic Avenger, I didn't realize at first he just had this innate sense to just murder the bad guys. Like he wasn't killing anybody innocent, And then there's a point in the first movie where he kills some lady that's like a laundry person. Like she owns a laundromat, and he kills her. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, he is a monster. He's killing everybody. But then it turns out she was running the mob or something, and she was like a horrible person. So I feel like what we're doing is like he manages to just kill the right people, whereas the humans are the ones that make the mistakes. It's an interesting, subtle thing going on, but I try to have that in mind when I'm drawing some of the scenes. I'm like laying those out and going, yeah, he'll kind of know he's not going to hurt that person too much.
Well, you brought forward a lot of the iconic touches from the movies. Toxie wears a tutu as part of his costume, and his main weapon is a mop. So, there's not too much damage you can do with a mop. It's never a shoot 'em up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's a powerful mop. I think I mean, Toxic Avenger is many things, right? It's like horror, it's camp, and it's body horror, but it's also a superhero parody, right? So I'm trying to keep that in mind. I like to have him not necessarily armed with a mop, but always grabbing mops that happen to be nearby during a fight.
Yeah, weapon of choice.
Yeah.
It feels good in my hand, and also I can clean up afterwards, maybe.
So how's your working process, the two of you? I mean, Fred, you're in Brooklyn. Matt, you are several miles to the north.
Yeah, I'm in Ontario. I don't know what's the process like. I mean, I write a full script and Fred goes from there, but like, we talk a lot. I get ideas from Fred when we talk. I get ideas of my own just talking it out. Sometimes I have something real specific in mind. I'll do a drawing, but also, Fred's real free to reinterpret stuff and make decisions. I like collaborating with stuff. And if you're better than me, you can come up with better ideas for, how to draw the page. And Fred often does. So I think it works out great. I love working with Fred. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the best communication I've had with anybody that I've been working with. I didn't know I was supposed to make friends with writers when I was at Marvel. I was just like, oh, give me a script. I'll go home and make some for you and I'll bring it back. And it was always kind of mediated through the editor. And that wasn't always the most reliable thing, because I'd meet the writer later on. They'd be like, why'd you draw it like that? And I'm like, well, the editor said it was okay. And with Matt, we have each other's number. So he'll just text me, hey, did you get this? And I'll go, yeah, I have a question about that. And so it's so much nicer to be able to just go, oh, I'm in a box here. I don't know what to do with this character or how to draw it better or tell the story the right way. And then he'll flesh it out and go, oh, like I was thinking more like this, and I'll be like, oh, got it. So it's so much better in the modern world to be able to just text and go, yeah, Do it like that.
We have our editor, Tom, but he's not coming in with a heavy hand. You know, I like collaborating and talking things out, as opposed to kind of the process that I hear about at Marvel and DC a lot, which is just sort of, you know, you have a script you're handing in and you're not necessarily having a lot of contact with your artist. So like all the people I work with now, like Ben Clarkson on Justice Warriors, Fred on Toxic Avenger, and now Tristan Wright on Toxic Crusaders, I like to talk about what the pages are like, and, you know, I'll give notes without trying to be an overbearing writer, but also like sometimes I'm a lot more comfortable now, getting more and more comfortable with letting them riff on something. Like, I guess an example would be like, I had this page for Toxic Crusaders that was fairly dense. I wanted like a whole conversation to take place. And I was like, you know, if I just give you the conversation, can you just like riff on the images? You know, like I don't want to be so prescriptive that I'm like saying, okay, it has to be 8 panels and this, like, you know what I mean? Like that's, and then through that kind of collaboration, you can kind of get to a better endpoint.
Yeah, Matt, you mentioned your Justice Warriors collaborator, Ben Clarkson, and you brought him on board for, I guess, a variant cover.
Yeah, Ben's great. We're going to do more Justice Warriors. And you know what? Not only is he on board for a cover, but there's actually a Justice Warriors Toxic Avenger crossover happening. I almost forgot, because they're Hoya is doing this series of books called Toxic Team Up, Toxy Team Up. So it's like Toxic Avenger teaming up with different Ahoy properties, all written by various Ahoy people. And then the final one will be Toxic Avenger and Justice Warriors. So Ben Clarkson's drawn that. I don't know the exact date on that. That comes out in the fall. But there's a ton of Toxic Avenger stuff in the works. Like, we have the new series that launches in July, Toxic Crusaders in September when the movie drops, and then Toxic Avenger Justice Warriors, I think, probably in October.
All right. So I was going to ask what's next for both of you, but it sounds like you've already told me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That and lots of coffee.
Right.
Yeah, we got this. I mean, I don't mind teasing it a little bit. We have these first 5 issues of Toxic Avenger are different genre comics, horror, fantasy, romance, with different artists. So they haven't announced all the artists, so I don't think I'm allowed to say, but Fred's the first one on horror. We can say that much. And that's like a straight horror comic. It's really good. And honestly, it's some of the best work I've ever, I think, Fred's done in his life. But I will tease what we're working on that won't be out for a while, which is the second arc, which is basically the title now and probably forever will be Toxic Goes to Washington. So he goes to Washington, D.C. to, you know, let's say for some hearings about what's happened, this toxic waste spill, get some attention, get some legislative attention on this, you know, these environmental crimes. And it's going to be a blast. I'll say that.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a blast, though, too. Yeah.
Yeah. That one will be leaning in on the political satire. I'll say that.
Toxie follows in the footsteps of Mr. Smith and Billy Jack.
Yes.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And we've been talking today about the comic series, The Toxic Avenger. Our guests have been Matt Borse, award-winning editorial cartoonist and founder of The Nib, and Fred Harper, an independent artist who's worked in fine art, illustration, and comics. Matt, Fred, it's been great to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
And if our listeners would like to find out more about The Toxic Avenger or your other projects, where would they look?
Oh, geez, let's see. Any comic book store?
Yeah, I would go to a comic book store and buy it. I would do that first. Yeah. I don't know. I'm easy to find online.
Yeah. Yeah, buy 3 copies, 1 to save, and 2 to just throw at people. You can read them too, yeah.
Well, thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of this show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on social media at Words and Picture.